Time, 2 p.m. Ed and Jim visit Jack Tuesday afternoon. Ed and Jim are a couple of feral psychopaths that do odd jobs around the Midwest, generally leaving a wake of corpses. Jack feels they are just the boys to handle this job and handle it the right way. No slip-ups, no one left alive, and not too particular about the body count. He explains to him the problem and the nature of the solution he's contemplating. He gives them the cell phone detonator and explains how to arm it. He hands them each several thousand in cash and tells them to meet with Joe at the warehouse in Omaha. He tells them to get out of Omaha as soon as they've planted the bomb. They leave an hour later on their 435-mile road trip to Omaha, planning to spend the night somewhere along the way. Chapter 10, Wednesday, January 17th. Time, 8 a.m. The next morning, Ed and Jim check out of a motel just off I-29 in a small town north of Kansas City, about 100 miles south of Omaha. The parking lot is still covered with packed snow from the blizzard the previous week, and it's cold. The snow crunches and grinds when it's cold. It isn't slippery, more like walking in sand on a beach. They rub their gloved hands together, hop in the car, and start the engine. The windshield is iced on the outside and steamed on the inside. Ed looks at Jim, laughs, and says, "Where the fuck are we?" Ed replies, "Fucking Frostbite Falls, man." Jim chuckles, his breath all puffs of steam, his arms clasped around his chest, and replies, "Well, it ain't Palm Springs, I know that." Ed guns the motor a few times in a futile effort to encourage some heat from the car. Slowly, after several minutes, the air from the vents begins to blow lukewarm and makes headway against the frosted windows. Ed reaches forward with an old cloth and rubs the windshield in circles, mainly smearing grease on the already blurred view. Then he hops out and tries clawing at the ice on the glass. Finally, as the glacial frost begins to break up, he switches on the wipers. Small chunks begin to slide and fall away, then larger ones until finally there's enough of a hole big enough to see through. He pushes the shift into drive and hits the gas. The tires whine and spin on the loose snow. The car slowly fishtails into motion and they head out of the parking lot and down a frozen, deserted street. The cloud of exhaust steam caught in the crosswind streaks away to their right as they head north for the interstate entrance ramp. On I-29 north, the road surface is mainly bare except where the wind has blown narrow, tapered drifts randomly across the passing lane. They figure they should be in Omaha by noon. The sun's reflection glares from the waves of snow on the fields on either side, a white desert of snow dunes with an occasional house, barn, and a few barren trees. Big 18-wheelers lumber along, the smoke from their stacks blowing furiously to the east. Every now and then, a great shard of ice rips from some trailer's roof. It tumbles and sails in the air until it smashes to pieces on the road below. Halfway to Omaha, they pull off the interstate and into a truck stop for breakfast and coffee. Truck stops in that part of the world are small cities. In the late morning hour, hundreds of trucks and cars are huddled before a massive complex of low, flat-roofed buildings. There are truck washes, restaurants, a fast food court, laundry, barbershop, showroom, garages, motels, row after row of diesel pumps, gas pumps, cashier booths, and even a dentist. Giant signs 50 feet high, mounted on massive tubular steel pylons, blink today's price of diesel across the prairie for all to see. A giant coffee pot and the offer private showers and an animated neon cowboy entice the diesel rigs to stop and buy. Once in the massive main building, Ed and Jim behold a sprawling complex of restaurants, breakfast served around the clock, a gift shop, truck parts store, CB store, novelties, magazines and videos, groceries, snack bar, liquor, beer, ATMs and restrooms. Other services available on request. There's a whiny country song blaring over the ceiling speakers and a lot of fat guys in denim jeans and plaid flannel shirts lumbering around in high-heeled shit-kicker leather cowboy boots. The women are mainly fat with big hair and dressed in white uniforms with red and white checkered aprons. They have pens on retractable chains and many souvenir badges pinned to their blouses. Jim grabs Ed's arm, looks at him, rolls his eyes, and staggers back a step. Ed laughs and leans over and in a low voice says, "Hey, dude, these are your kind of people." Jim kicks him in the ankle. They spot a table across a sea of truckers eating greasy margarine-soaked plates of mashed spuds, gravy, grits, fritters, and brown meat, and sopping up the drippings with pasty dinner rolls and thick slices of white bread. Sitting down, Jim runs his hand across the table, looks at his palm, and wipes it on his pants and says, "Nice place. Real clean." A middle-aged woman with a butt the size of a truck tire waddles up to the table holding a gold chain pen and an order pad with several pink pages flipped over. She greets them in an Ozark drawl. "Okay, boys, what'll it be?" Her badge reads Daisy. Ed looks up and says, "Little late for breakfast. How about a cheeseburger platter and a large coffee?" Jim says, "Same, but with bacon." Daisy says, "You want coleslaw or salad?" They both say coleslaw in unison. "You got it, boys. Be right back with your coffee." As she wobbles off, sticking the pad in her apron pocket while her bosom-mounted brooch reels in the pen. A few minutes minutes later, she's back with a tray from which she slaps down two printed paper placemats, two sets of napkin-wrapped silverware, two glasses of ice water, two steaming coffee cups, and one mini pitcher of cream. "Where are y'all from?" she asks casually. "St. Louis. We're heading to Omaha. Any idea how the roads are up there? The snow's dripping badly out in the super slab." "Hey, Leroy!" she turns and calls to a trucker at the next table. "Didn't you just come through Omaha? How'd the weather look over your shoulder?" Leroy swings around, smiles, a couple of teeth missing, and says, "Okay, wind's a bit strong, but they're keeping the road clear. Just watch out for the ice on them overpasses. Saw some bears taking pictures on the north side just over the Iowa line." Ed waves and says, "Thanks. That's a big help." Leroy turns back to his dinner. After she leaves, Jim says, "Super slab? Exactly when did you learn trucker English?" "It's a gift, man. It's a gift." They light cigarettes, drink the coffee, and, amused, survey the noisy scene around them. Their order arrives and their coffee's refilled. Surrounded by the dingy clatter of a prairie truck stop, they silently sit, eating burgers. When they finish, Ed heads to the men's room while Jim waits next to a display of keychains. Passing trucker looks him over and then grabs his crotch and says, "Need a ride, boy?" Jim reacts instantly. He swivels and heaves his knees into the trucker's balls with full force, just as Ed comes out of the men's room. The trucker's eyes bulge as he doubles up in tear-filled pain. Jim smiles and says to the trucker, "How's about that for a ride, bubba?" Ed sees the scene and says, "What the fuck's up?" Just as two drivers across the room begin to rush over, one saying, "Let's get the motherfucker." Ed and Jim bolt to the exit and race to their car. Jumping in, Ed flips on the ignition and guns the motor. The tires screech and the car speeds off just as the first of the fat flannel-clad trio get within a few feet of their rear bumper. Ed quickly pulls back out onto the interstate heading north and says, "What the hell happened, man? He grabbed my dick." "And you didn't like it?" "Oh, come on. Since when?" "Since now. Dude, you need to stop hitting on guys at truck stops. No more bears at truck stops." "Will you shut up, damn it?" Ed smiles and they drive on through the bone-dry, frigid white wasteland of empty drifted fields past occasional farmhouses, silos, and buildings in the distance. Here and there is a dark, derelict piece of farm machinery marooned in a bleak field. Every 10 miles or so they pass a small town, a tiny cluster of houses, maybe a store, gas station, and a water tower. Every town has its name on its water tower, probably so you can tell them apart. One looks pretty much like another. They pass huge trucks, some with 2 and 3 trailers hooked together and weaving in the brisk west wind. The truck tractors all have tall chrome exhaust stacks and high vertical mirrors on each side, held in place by heavy chrome tubes. From their high points extend 4-foot CB whip antennas, waving tautly in the wind. But from these mirror-mounted masts, relayed CB messages track Ed and Jim's passage. The three drivers from the truck stop have called ahead. In the road before him, Ed sees a long line of trucks in the right lane, and another line further on in the passing lane, a traffic jam of trucks. "Oh, shit! One lane's going 58 miles an hour, and the other lane's going about 58 and a half miles an hour. Why the fuck do they think they own the fucking road? Looks like we're blocked." He pulls over to the left lane and closes in behind the last truck. To their right, the lane of trucks extends a quarter mile back. Ed begins blowing the horn and flashing his lights. "That won't help you, man. They don't even see you, and in those cabs, they won't hear anything but Tammy Wynette." Then Ed notices there's a truck behind them now. They're boxed in, one to the right, one ahead, one behind, and a high snowbank median to their left. The truck behind pulls closer. Ed pulls closer to the one ahead and slightly to the right, asking, "Can you see any opening to the right ahead? I don't like this." Jim swings around and sees the truck behind, then leans to his right and said, "No, there's no space for a car ahead either. No, man, this ain't right. What do you think's up? Fucking assholes at the truck stop, that's what. They've called ahead on their damn CBs. They've boxed us in and we can't move. I think we're in deep shit, dude." They ride this way for the better part of about 15 minutes, trapped between Kenworth's, Peterbilt's, Mack's, and Volvo's, each pulling 80,000-pound trailers. Suddenly, Jim says, "Hey, look, the truck on the right. It's pulling ahead. We may get out of this." But as that truck moves forward, another one closely following behind it slides into place. There's no chance to pull into the right lane and off on an exit, or into the breakdown lane. Then another truck passes on the right, and then more. After several trucks parade by to their right, Jim looks up at the driver in the truck that's now passing next to them. The driver looks down and grins at him as he slowly passes. Then Jim looks behind at the truck next in line and said, "Oh shit, it's that cock grabber from the truck stop, and I'm not putting up with this shit anymore." Without hesitating, he quickly flips his seat down flat and scurries into the back seat. He reaches to the floor, saying, "Okay, motherfucker, you want it? You got it." He pulls out an assault rifle from under a blanket and loads a clip of armor-piercing rounds. Busting the rear window with his gun stock, he swings around, flips the safety off, and sprays several rounds towards the high, flat windshield of the truck behind them and on the right.